The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from FoundationFightingBlindness.org, Retinal Research Pioneer Passes. Fearless Sister Duo Finding Hope. They have retinitis pigmentosa. A Zoom webinar registration using refreshable braille. From Cool Blind Tech, an app for people with glaucoma. From Neuroscience News, tour quality sleep and glaucoma. From nationaltoday.com, National Braille Literacy Month. And from glaucoma.org, research in four or five different teams on this disease with a view to the future. So since it's Braille Literacy Month and Glaucoma Awareness Month, my show practically wrote itself. Let's get started. From FightingBlindness.org, retinal research community loses beloved pioneer Sam Jacobson. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is saddened to report the passing of Sam Jacobson, MD, PhD, a world-renowned pioneer in clinical and lab research for retinal diseases and one of the Foundation's original scientific advisory board members. He was the recipient of the Foundation's Board of Directors and National Trustee Awards for his innumerable research achievements and contributions to the field. Dr. Jacobson was highly respected for his seminal discoveries and breakthroughs, teaching and mentorship, natural history studies, and clinical development of numerous retinal disease treatments, including gene and RNA therapies for several forms of retinitis pigmentosa, Leber congenital amaurosis, LCA, cone rod dystrophies, and many other retinal conditions. Dr. Jacobson was beloved by patients and families for his outstanding clinical care and the many hours he took to help them understand their conditions, prognoses, and research underway that might benefit them. Sam Jacobson was a hero in the fight against blinding retinal diseases. He gave selflessly to the foundation, the global retinal research community, and patients and families, says Jason Menzo, Chief Executive Officer at the Foundation Fighting Blindness. His decades of unparalleled passion and dedication to research were instrumental in moving our mission forward and advancing treatments into and through clinical trials. His impact and legacy will be forever lasting. Among his numerous awards and honors, Dr. Jacobson received the Antonio Champalimaud Vision Award in 2018 for his revolutionary work that led to Luxturna, L-U-X-T-U-R-N-A, the first gene therapy approved by the FDA for the eye or any inherited condition. Also in 2018, he was awarded the Proctor Medal for his research with colleague Artur Cidecyan, Ph.D., that's spelled C-I-D-E-C-I-Y-A-N, that showed certain forms of LCA, despite causing severe vision loss, were good candidates for treatments. Dr. Jacobson most recently served as the William C. Freyer Professor of Ophthalmology, University of Pennsylvania, Director, Center for Hereditary Retinal Degenerations at the Shai Eye Institute, that's S-C-H-E-I-E, University of Pennsylvania, Director, Retinal Function Department, Shai Eye Institute, University of Pennsylvania. He received his MD from the University of Illinois and PhD from the University of London. Did residencies at Mass Eye and Ear and Rush Presbyterian, and held fellowships at Mass Eye and Ear and Moorfields Eye Hospital. Also from FightingBlindness.org, Fearless Sister Duo Finding Hope. Sisters April Lufriu and Melissa Escobio, Lufriu is spelled L-U-F-R-I-U, and Escobio is E-S-C-O-B-I-O, are best friends who do everything together. They live with their families in Tampa, Florida, enjoy traveling to new places, and are fearless about new experiences. They also both have retinitis pigmentosa, RP. In 1989, Melissa was diagnosed with RP at the age of 21. Melissa was the first in their family to receive this diagnosis, so she felt totally blindsided by the news. So in 2006, Melissa and April decided to seek out others affected with blinding diseases and found the Foundation Fighting Blindness. The sister duo created and formed the Tampa Bay chapter for the Foundation Fighting Blindness, and April serves as the president and Melissa serves as the vice president. Then in 2010, April, along with her 10-year-old son Brandon and 6-year-old daughter Savannah, were all diagnosed with RP, specifically X-linked RP, parentheses XLRP. It was devastating to find out my children are affected, but I always had my sister to support me, says April, and I had the foundation to help guide me, too, so I never felt alone. April's RP is mild and doesn't affect her day-to-day vision, while her children's and Melissa's RP are progressing more quickly. So, to help April cope, she decided to start competing in pageants, which she used to do when she was a young adult. At first, it wasn't easy, but April wanted to use the platform to help raise awareness and funds for diseases like RP. And in 2011, April won the Mrs. Florida America pageant. 6 weeks later, she competed in the Mrs. America pageant and won again. Following that was Mrs. World 2012, where she won yet again. I had the right purpose, and I just stayed true to myself, says April. All I did was talk about my kids, blindness, and supporting the community, which seemed to resonate with the judges. I'm so grateful for the opportunities I had during my reign to spread awareness, and I couldn't have done it without my family by my side. It's clear April is a go-getter, and with Melissa by her side, they're both unstoppable and adventurous when trying new things. They recently flew in a helicopter with no doors over New York City and hiked in Sedona, Arizona, and April helps to narrate to Melissa what she may not be able to see herself. You can't let your diagnosis stop you. You just have to keep going, and you can still live a full life, says Melissa. I never look down on my diagnosis. We all have our moments. It can be upsetting, but I don't dwell on it, and I keep living my dreams. Melissa's risk-taking attitude also led her to participate in a stem cell clinical trial at the University of California, Irvine in 2018. I'm so grateful I was able to be a part of this trial, and it was a wonderful experience, says Melissa. It was a lot, though, and I had some side effects to the medications, so I decided not to go forward with my left eye, but I see a slight improvement in my right eye compared to the left, and the progression seems to have slowed. April's son Brandon is also currently participating in the AGTC gene therapy clinical trial for XLRP. Brandon's first eye surgery was in February 2020, and he is now being monitored. Melissa and April found out about both trials through the Foundation Fighting Blindness. The foundation got our foot in the door, says April. We're daring to be pioneers and jump in. You can't live in fear, and you just have to trust the science. And we've gotten so much hope from the foundation. In the last year, April and Melissa have become the Foundation's Tampa Bay Chapter President and Vice President. On June 9, 2022, they helped to launch a brand new event called Tampa Wine and Dine for Sight, where they raised over $106,000 for the Foundation. RP has made me acknowledge all the great things in life and not overlook the simple things we take for granted, says April. I feel like my life has a purpose, thanks to RP, and even though it's a tough road, I've learned more gratitude, strength, and humility. How to improve productivity using refreshable Braille. Webinar registration at us06web.zoom.us. Are you looking for ways to become more proficient when using a Braille display? Join us on Thursday, January 19th from noon to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a live webinar, How to Improve Productivity Using Refreshable Braille. Objectives: we'll provide an overview of 5 powerful features available when using a Braille display with JAWS, plus discuss useful commands. Learn how to use Braille in to control your computer with the Braille display keyboard. Select your desired Braille display mode to access specific information. Use status cells to gain valuable information about the active cursor, line numbers where the virtual cursor is active, and the type of control in focus. Use flash messages to obtain help and status information. Link and unlink the Braille and system cursors when navigating information on the screen. Freedom Scientific presenters Elizabeth Whitaker, Kathy Johnson, and Rachel Buchanan. ACVREP credits will be available for those who attend the live webinar. Help us spread the word. Please feel free to share this with someone you think might benefit from attending. I read this in October, but it is Glaucoma Awareness Month. From CoolBlindTech.com, new app available for people with glaucoma, October 17th. ABBVIE, New York Stock Exchange ABBV, and Fighting Blindness Canada have launched the Glaucoma in Perspective, GIP, app to help Canadians understand the impact of glaucoma and manage disease progression. The launch of GIP coincides with World Sight Day as the vision loss community comes together to raise awareness and understanding of eye diseases like glaucoma. GIP was developed based on research and insights into patients' perception of sight loss with glaucoma. The app provides users with guidance on treatment regimen and includes a series of interactive demonstrations to encourage at-risk individuals to seek early intervention from a healthcare professional by allowing them to experience the impact of glaucoma on everyday situations. It also provides information on available treatment options to support glaucoma management. The GIP app is now available at the App Store and on Google Play for free. Glaucoma affects more than 728,000 Canadians and takes the form of several related disease types, the most common being open-angle glaucoma. Glaucoma is characterized by a buildup of aqueous humor fluid and increased intraocular pressure, IOP, that damages the optic nerve. There is no cure for glaucoma, but early detection and treatment can help prevent damage to the optic nerve and, as a result, save vision. In a national survey of 150 respondents with glaucoma, 69% of respondents didn't know what type of glaucoma they have. 65% of respondents relied on their doctor's office for new resources and information to support their glaucoma knowledge, while 39% search online. From neurosciencenews.com, poor quality sleep may be linked to heightened risk of irreversible sight loss. September 27th. Those who suffer from poor sleep quality, including daytime sleepiness, snoring, or getting too much or too little sleep, are at increased risk of developing glaucoma. Poor quality sleep, including too much or too little shut-eye, daytime sleepiness, and snoring, may be linked to a heightened risk of developing irreversible sight loss, glaucoma, suggests a large UK biobank study published in the open access journal BMJ Open. The findings underscore the need for sleep therapy in people at high risk of the disease, as well as eye checks among those with chronic sleep disorders to check for early signs of glaucoma, concludes the researchers. Glaucoma is a leading cause of blindness and will likely affect an estimated 112 million people worldwide by 2040. Characterized by progressive loss of sight-sensitive cells in the eye and optic nerve damage, its causes and contributory factors are still poorly understood. But if left untreated, glaucoma can progress to irreversible blindness. While population screening may not be cost-effective, targeted screening of high-risk groups might be, suggests the researchers. And previously published research suggests that sleep disorders may be an important risk factor. To explore these issues further, the researchers set out to ascertain the risk of glaucoma among people with different sleep behaviors, insomnia, too much or too little sleep, night or morning chronotypes, owls or larks, daytime sleepiness, and snoring. They drew on 409,053 participants in the UK Biobank, all of whom were ages between 40 and 69 in 2006 to 10, when recruited. and who had provided details of their sleep behaviors. Sleep duration was defined as normal, 7 to less than 9 hours per day, and as too little or too much outside this range. Chronotype was defined according to whether the person described themselves as more of a morning lark or night owl. Insomnia severity, trouble falling asleep at night or frequent waking, was classified as never, sometimes, or usually, whereas subjective daytime sleepiness was categorized as never or rarely, sometimes, or frequent. Background information on potentially influential factors was retrieved from the questionnaires filled in at recruitment. Age, average of 57, sex, race, ethnicity, educational attainment, lifestyle, weight with BMI, and residential area level of deprivation. Medical records and death registration data were used to track the health and survival of all the participants until a first diagnosis of glaucoma, hospital admission, death, emigration, or the end of the monitoring period, 31st of March 2021, whichever came first. During an average monitoring period of just over 10.5 years, 8,690 cases of glaucoma were identified. Those with glaucoma tended to be older and more likely to be male, and a never smoker, and have high blood pressure or diabetes than those who weren't diagnosed with the disease. With the exception of chronotype, the other four sleep patterns and behaviors were all associated with varying degrees of heightened glaucoma risk. Short or long sleep duration was associated with an 8% heightened risk, insomnia 12%, snoring 4%, and frequent daytime sleepiness 20%. And compared with those with a healthy sleep pattern, snorers and those who experienced daytime sleepiness were 10% more likely to have glaucoma, while insomniacs and those with a short or long sleep duration pattern were 13% more likely to have it. The results were similar when categorized by different types of glaucoma. This is an observational study and, as such, can't establish cause. The study relied on self-report rather than objective measurement and reflected one point in time only, acknowledged the researchers. Glaucoma might itself influence sleep patterns rather than the other way around, they add. But there are potentially plausible biological explanations for the associations found between sleep disturbance and glaucoma, say the researchers. The internal pressure of the eye, a key factor in the development of glaucoma, rises when a person is lying down and when sleep hormones are out of kilter, as occurs in insomnia, explains the researchers. Depression and anxiety, which often go hand in hand with insomnia, may also increase the internal eye pressure, possibly because of dysregulated cortisol production, they suggest. Similarly, repetitive or prolonged episodes of low levels of cellular oxygen caused by sleep apnea, sudden stopping of breathing during sleep, might cause direct damage to the optic nerve, it has been suggested. As sleep behaviors are modifiable, these findings underscore the necessity of sleep intervention for individuals at high risk of glaucoma and potential ophthalmologic screening among individuals with chronic sleep problems to help prevent glaucoma, conclude the researchers. About this sleep and visual neuroscience research news, author BMG Media Relations, source BMG, contact BMJ Media Relations, original research open access, association of sleep behavior and pattern with the risk of glaucoma, a prospective cohort study in the UK Biobank, by Kun Soon et al., published in BMJ Open. Abstract, association of sleep behavior and pattern with the risk of glaucoma, a prospective cohort study in the UK Biobank. Most of the abstract has already been mentioned in the article. Conclusion. Daytime sleepiness, insomnia, and shorter long duration, individually or jointly, were all associated with the risk of glaucoma. These findings underscore the need for sleep intervention for individuals at high risk of glaucoma, as well as potential ophthalmologic screening among individuals with chronic sleep problems for glaucoma prevention. From nationaltoday.com, National Braille Literacy Month, January 2023. National Braille Literacy Month, U.S. National Braille Literacy Month is celebrated in January every year. It is also a celebration of the founder, Louis Braille's, birthday. Apart from honoring Braille's legacy, this month aims to educate people about the importance and advantages of Braille literacy. The Braille system came as an advantage to people who suffer from different vision problems. The system remains unchanged to date. Now that Braille has been incorporated into digital devices and computers, it has become more accessible and relevant to the present technology-driven world. History of National Braille Literacy Month. As surprising as it sounds, the history of Braille does not begin with Louis Braille. This system of using codes to write dates back to the early 1800s. We are referring to the time of the Napoleonic Wars. It was Charles Barbier, B-A-R-B-I-E-R, a soldier in Napoleon's army, who developed a system known as night writing. He used this to secretly communicate with his comrades at night. To avoid the use of lamps that alerted enemy troops and resulted in a lot of killings, Barbier decided to find a way of reading combat messages in the dark. Barbier executed his plan by developing tools to create raised dots on a surface. These dots were placed in a pattern to denote a kind of code language. By touching the pattern, one could decipher the hidden message without having to see it. This method was later adopted by the Royal Institution for Blind Youth in Paris. Coincidentally, this was also the school where Braille studied. He was taken by this system and so decided to modify it to something more compact and flexible. A major problem with the original military code was that the human fingertip could not feel every dot with a single touch. The refining of these patterns and dots was not easy. Braille took 9 years to develop and improve the dot impressions to finally create a reading format based on a cell of 6 dots. Each cell encompassed 1 impression, and it was convenient to glide your fingertips over 1 cell and quickly move to the next. This form of written communication has remained intact after many years. Today, Braille is credited for the invention of this unique writing system because he made it less cumbersome and easy to acquire. National Braille Literacy Month Timeline. 1860, the first school to teach Braille. The Missouri School for the Blind becomes the first school in the U.S. to teach Braille. 1904, the first degree holder. Famous American author Ellen Keller becomes the first deafblind person to earn a degree from Radcliffe College. 1932, standardization of Braille codes. The American and British Uniform Type Committees adopt standard English Braille as a uniform type. 1963, computerized. Computers are adapted to produce Braille outputs. National Braille Literacy Month FAQs. How does Braille help visually impaired people? Braille is a writing and reading system for blind people. It enables students to access the same classroom written materials as their sighted peers. Was Louis Braille blind? Braille, the inventor of the Braille system, was blind. Can I learn Braille even though I'm not blind? Of course. Many Braille instructors have perfect vision, and yet they learned Braille to educate others. If they can, you can too. How to observe National Braille Literacy Month. 1. Check the National Library Service, NSL. Check out NSL or pay a visit to a library for blind people. You will be able to find resources on the life of Louis Braille as well as the writing system. 2. Take Braille lessons. Take on learning a new skill. If you know someone who is visually impaired and you want to lend a helping hand, learning Braille could be a great idea. 3. Donate. Donate Braille books or donate resources to blind people who are underprivileged. You could also volunteer at a center for blind people. 5. Interesting facts about Braille. 1. It's not a language. Braille is not a language, but a writing system. 2. It takes up space. Braille alphabets, due to their raised dots and patterns, take up more space, which makes reading Braille books longer. 3. Lack of teachers. Sadly, the number of teachers qualified to teach Braille decreases every year. 4. It is not common. In 2009, a study showed that only 10% of Americans with blindness can read Braille. 5. Naming an asteroid. NASA paid tribute to Louis Braille by naming an asteroid 9969 Braille. Why National Braille Literacy Month is important. 1. It spreads awareness. this month is to raise awareness about Braille literacy and how it can change the lives of blind people. It also raises awareness about how Braille has aided blind people. Number two, understanding their struggle. It also opens our eyes to the struggles that blind people go through daily. We become appreciative of our ability to see. Number three, inclusivity. One of the most important aspects of this month is that it teaches us to be inclusive and embrace people with different abilities. This ensures that everybody has opportunities in life. From glaucoma.org, research. Glaucoma Research Foundation is dedicated to scientific research that deepens our understanding of glaucoma, generates new treatments, and will ultimately cure a disease that is the second leading cause of blindness. Research takes resources. That's why, for more than 40 years, we have rallied financial support for science with the potential to break through. Projects we've made possible have already changed the game in glaucoma care, starting with the first study to reveal that lowering eye pressure preserves vision. More recently, scientists we've funded have made discoveries that could protect or regrow retinal ganglion cells and axons damaged by glaucoma. But we've set our sights on something even bigger, a cure that will make glaucoma a thing of the past. Our leading research program is Catalyst for a Cure. Since 2002, we have recruited scientists from prestigious academic centers across the country to collaborate in unique multi-year, multidisciplinary teams. The first Catalyst for a Cure consortium helped redefine glaucoma as a neurodegenerative disease in the same family as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. A second team identified new biomarkers that reveal the earliest signs of glaucoma. A third team is now pursuing exciting discoveries in vision restoration, from optic nerve regeneration to transplantation to gene manipulation. A fourth team launched in 2022 is investigating how and why specialized cells in the eye, brain, and spinal cord deteriorate and die, in search of preventative measures and cures for all neurodegenerative conditions. We also support pioneering scientists with new, untested ideas that hold great promise but may not qualify for traditional sources of support. Our Schaefer Research Grants, that's spelled S-H-A-F-F-E-R, illustrate the exciting potential we can catalyze with seed funding, which often leads to larger grants from the National Institutes of Health and other prominent sources. Restoring vision in glaucoma, more than meets the eye. New strategies are needed to rethink how we treat glaucoma to do more than just manage eye pressure, to actually restore vision by promoting the survival of retinal ganglion cells and their axons. When most of us talk about glaucoma, we talk about pressure in the eye. How high, how low, how many drops each day, etc. And for good reason, glaucoma is about sensitivity to eye pressure. Clinically, the goal is to manage pressure to stabilize vision. While eye pressure relates to structures in the front of the eye that regulate blood flow, fluid flow, sensitivity to pressure relates to the back of the eye. There, stress from glaucoma affects the retina and optic nerve, which collect visual information and transmit it to the brain. Specialized neurons called retinal ganglion cells provide long, cable-like axons that form the optic nerve. In glaucoma, sensitivity to eye pressure causes these axons to degenerate, followed by death of the ganglion cells themselves. As more and more ganglion cells die, abnormalities that may not be apparent to the patient can be detected on tests, such as the visual field examination, and eventually noticeable vision loss can occur. Ganglion cell death is permanent for now. At Glaucoma Research Foundation, our goal is to change that. Agents that are neuroprotective would be most beneficial for patients newly diagnosed with early glaucoma. There's more on the glaucoma.org website. We've run out of time for this week's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.